have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hallelujah. We're going to get there one day. Blessings. Blessings. Blessings from For His Glory. I'm Apostle Brian Blassingame. I'm your co-host. And I'm here along with the wonderful, beautiful Dr. Kimmy Kim and Elation Radio. And, of course, with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've been away for a while. We've been a little bit busy here, busy there. Service here, funeral there. But we're here tonight, and we're glad to be back. I have something, though, something that I saw that touched my heart, or, yeah, touched my heart. It also not only touched my heart, it brought us about an awareness. And the Lord kind of started dealing with me about it because it concerns our youth. Particularly our young ladies, actually young men as well. But I don't know if some of you may be on Instagram or not. I am on Instagram, and I happen to be strolling one day. And as I was strolling, I happened to see these three young women. They were in their room, and they had music going, and they would say a few words, and then they would come out. And y'all forgive me with my friends. I'm just telling you what they were doing, what was happening. They would say a few words, and then they would say, lame as F. They was dropping the F bomb. And they kept going on. They kept going on. And finally, you hear a knock at the door. The music stops. And then their mom comes in the room, or what we used to call it back in the day, the strap, leather strap. And so I'm looking at this, and I actually counted the straps. It was the wax. Gave out about 11 wax. So there's three girls. So more than likely, I'm gonna say they got three wax apiece. And somebody probably got one, and the other one got another one with, you know, the two remainder left over. But I'm saying this to say this. I made a comment on that particular video, and the comment that I made was, mom is always right. Now, mom did. She came in there, swinging, and mom, too, was using profanity, which that part I don't agree with. But the thing about it is, from my viewpoint, if she was getting on them for what they were saying, what they were singing in her house, my comment was, you know, mom is always right. And those girls was probably two steps away from the poles, meaning dancing poles, stripper poles. Every now and then my phone would go off and I would look, and I would see where different people was hitting it up and saying they liked the comment, they liked the comment, they liked the comment. And that was no problem. That really didn't catch my attention. But what did catch my attention was that some guy came on there and said, well, enough with that Joe Jackson mess. I know y'all think I ain't talking Bible tonight, but I am. I'm talking Bible. He was saying, yeah, enough with that Joe Jackson mess. And he was saying, you know, mom, in so many words, should not have put the strap to them. And when he came with that particular remark, my response to that was, Joe Jackson's belt may not have felt good. I'm quite sure it didn't. But what people don't understand is that when you do wrong, the repercussions and the consequences for doing wrong is not supposed to feel good. If there was no repercussions, if there wasn't anything that made you that didn't bring back to your remembrance, don't do this no more, you would do it again because you wouldn't feel like it was wrong. You feel like, hey, this is okay. I'm doing what I'm doing, and it's okay. So that was, like I said, they needed to be disciplined. And I said, I also hit him with this. I said, now, even though the belt may not have felt good, I bet any amount of money, and I'm a gambling man, that they don't complain about those leaks that Joe Jackson gave them whenever they go to the bank. It was hard. I know it was stern. It was hard what he was laying down. But the thing about it is, it gave them discipline. It gave them discipline, and it gave them structure. It gave them how to respect others. And I went farther because I wanted to relate to him that I too was a recipient. I was one of those recipients. One of the recipients that was on the other end of that scrap. That when I did wrong, I too used to get the strap. And because of that, I made it my choice. I made it my decision to stay out of trouble. I was about like a car, you know. And what I mean by that is a car runs smooth for about 6 months and a year, and then it's time for a tune-up. And after you get the spark plug changed, get the oil filter changed, and your oil changed, and maybe a few spark plugs changed, you start back running smooth again. That's about like what it was with me. If I started running a little rough, once they put that strap on me, I'll run smooth again for about 6 months to a year. I'm not trying to feel that. But I said that to say that this taught me how to give the most utmost respect to other folks, other people. It gave me the right or how to respect my elders. And I went on to say, because of that, I never spent one day, 1 hour, 1 minute, or 1 second behind bars. It kept me out of a lot of trouble because I knew that if I did something that I wasn't supposed to do, there was going to be consequences. I knew that. So his response was, you know, well, they were making music. And my response was, there's a difference between noise and music. There's a great difference between noise and music. And the language that they were using really disqualified it for being music. I mean, if you think about the group that he brought up, the Jackson 5, they were popular. They were known for years. Their hits, you know, you can still hear a hit from time to time. They're probably still getting paid royalties off of the music that they played. And guess what? Not one time did you hear any of them dropping the F-bomb. And I'm saying that because I'm pointing this out because our society has gotten away so far away from God to where we're at that mode where the Bible says there'll be people who call evil good and good evil. I also went on farther to say because of this, because see, I was also in school when teachers could discipline you. Teachers could put the paddle on your tail and give you a referral. If you took that referral home and your parents found out that the teacher had to spank you, they felt like that was a reflection on them. It made them look bad. Somebody else had to spank their kid. You get another spank. I know I'm talking right. I know somebody out there know where I'm coming from. And, you know, the other thing about that was that, you know, we had respect for our teachers. Even if we did curse, we wasn't going to curse to the place to where they could hear us. And I'm talking about some of the ones around us that we would refer to as, you know, ruffians or thugs. Even they might cuss, but they ain't cussing in front of the teacher. They ain't trying to let the teacher hear them cuss. Now, because of, you know, us being so lackadaisical, you got teachers, you got kids now that not only will talk back to teachers, but cuss a teacher out. Cuss a teacher slap out. And when we were in school, what was mass shootings? We never knew anything about a mass shooting. And yes, most of us knew where daddy kept the gun. Most of us knew where daddy kept the shotgun. Most of us knew where daddy kept the pistol. We knew where it was. Easily. Could have went and got it. It wasn't under lock and key. Mine, he kept his right there by the strap. I don't know if that was his plan. I don't know if that was his purpose. But when he kept his straps, that was the same cause that he kept his shotgun. So I had to look past the straps or look behind the straps in order to get the shotgun. So, you know, if I reach back beyond the strap, I already know what's going to happen if I touch the shotgun. It wasn't hard for me to figure out. I'm blowing that I see so much going on, so many problems in what we call our youth, what we call society. And it's just been kind of like laid heavy on my heart because they call it music, and really what it is, it's detrimental. Actually, what it is subliminal messages, and it's also damaging, very damaging to our youth. I'm not telling y'all anybody that y'all don't already realize. I jotted down some notes, but it's all the chicken scratch, so I can't even remember too much about what it was or what it is that I did say. But there was another who commented and said, well, you mentioned in the poll and that the girls might have been two steps away from the poll or whatever, something to that. And he said, but strippers make money. And my response to that was that our money is not good money. It's we've gotten to a place to in society to where we think just because we got a little change, a little money, everything's okay. Women nowadays at a high rate are just giving their bodies away for a piece of change. If they feel like you got a bag, they feel like you got money, hey, they don't mind hitting you up and in hopes that you'll fly them to you or whatever so that they can do the ungodly, and they're looking for some change in exchange. And then they wonder, oh, God, I'm getting really deep. I'm getting kind of a little deep. And then they wonder why they're having problems, you know, in the dating field. In the dating field. They're having problems trying to figure out why it is don't nobody really want me. Or they come up with the thing of saying they only want me for one thing. I mean, what they don't understand is once you put yourself out there like that, then men view, Lord help, men view, it's different. Men view women almost the same way as they view cars. And I probably kind of like leave it like that. But in today's society, in my time, and these girls look like they may have been middle school age, 13, 14, 15, yeah, maybe 13, 14, 15, yeah, somewhere on the left. we rarely heard that kind of language coming out of a girl's mouth. We rarely heard that kind of language coming out of a girl's mouth. And even when you got a little bit older, you can kind of differentiate and tell which girl you can, yeah, like they say, kick it with, which girl you can hook up with, and which girl you can bring to mama's house on Sunday. She can't come to mama's house if you know she talk like that. Because mama will see her at the door and pick, let me work on my English. Mama will see her at the door, tell right off the bat what she was and who she was, and tell you, son, you're not bringing this trash in my house. I know I'm not making a whole lot of sense to nobody sometimes, like, but I said that to say this. We keep preaching and we keep teaching that words have power. Words also identify you. Words also let us know what's in you as well as what's outside of you. We've heard the saying that I didn't know how shallow you were. I didn't know how angry you were until you opened your mouth. There's some people that are beautiful on the outside until you hear them open their mouth. And the Word of God identifies it and lets us know this is how we know what fruit people are bearing too, because the Word tells us out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Like I said, I told him, I said, every almond is not good money. If we can hear the language that's coming out of some of the ladies' mouth, we don't have to wonder if they have a body count. Y'all know what that means. Body count means how many sexual partners you have had. A lot of times you can listen to what's coming out of their mouth, and you can pretty much tell, and I know I'm getting into something kind of different, a little deep, but darlings, my young sisters out there, most men, and I'm not talking about I almost said something else, but I'm not talking about thugs. I'm not talking about the roughnecks. I'm talking about men. Some of you men, some men that y'all would think maybe high-value men are just gentlemen, period. They're not looking for a woman that's for the streets. Not to marry them, no way. They're not looking for a woman that's for the streets. They're not looking for that. Because if she's really for the street, she's not. The next bag that come along, and it's a bigger bag than the bag you got, she's gone. It's just that simple. There's no loyalty there when it's like that. But anyway, that was pretty much my response to what that young man had said concerning making money or people making money on the pole. A lot of people are not looking at that as though that's a very, they're looking at it like, you know, ain't nothing to that. No, it's something to that. And basically what I'm saying is, They're glamorizing it now. You know, there was a time when, you know, it wasn't glamorous. I'll put it that way. It wasn't glamorous at one time. At one time, that wasn't classy. for a lady. But now it's like we've lowered our standards. And some of our ladies lowered their standards to be on the pole, but yet they want a man that has high standards to marry them. And it don't work that way. God, how did I? Yeah, well, I got into it by looking at that little 15-second, 20-second video. But let me go back, because some people was really talking like, you know, the mama came in real bad with the strap. Like I said, I counted the lashes, and it was like 11 little lashes or whatever. Now, I'm not talking about child abuse either. That definitely, 11 lashes definitely wasn't child abuse. See, I was raised in a time that I couldn't count. I got lashes. I couldn't count the lashes. And it wasn't but one of me. I was raised the only child. It wasn't like I had a brother or a sister that when I got through, it was their turn. But I knew some that grew up with me. And my mom, she grew up with four other siblings. And hey, in that day, they made a line. They lined you up, and each one of you got your share. And I'm quite sure most times it was more than two or three stripes apiece. You know, I mean, they got down in it to the point to where. Even this lady, when she gave them the 11 little wax, and that, like I say, total, and as she was walking out, one of them yelled, "We was just working on our music." Now, see, in my day, you wouldn't do that. Because if you did that, she come back with the strap, and for every time she talked to you concerning that, what you just said, she'd be swinging. I know what you were doing. Don't tell me what you were doing, because I heard you for myself. The talking back mode, that was unheard of. You know, something like that, you say, "I was just making music," make it on you again for that. You know, next time, they get in that mode and they're handing out those straps, you know not to say nothing. And, well, anyway, sometimes you feel like they might be a little bipolar, because they be giving it to you. And they, the whole time they're talking, and they'll say, you know, something like, "Bit not catch you doing this no more." And you respond to say, "No, I ain't going to do it no more." And they say, "I know you not gonna do it no more, because if you do it again," and each time they say a word, they swing. So for some of them who thought those kids got child abuse, no, that wasn't child abuse at all. That wasn't child abuse at all. So start talking about, it's okay that we do this, it's okay that we do that. Because of money, we need to remember Mark 8:36. I told you I was doing Bible, y'all. It says in Mark 8:36, "What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul?" What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What does it profit you to have a man fly you to Dubai? What does it profit a man or a woman to fly you out to Costa Rica? What does it profit you for him to fly you out to Jamaica, London, Paris, Venezuela, and all these different things? So you can trade in your body for these trips. What does it profit you to gain all that and something happens and you lose your soul? Listen, you flying here, there, and everywhere. Who's to say that that jet that you're on will stay up in the air after you've done your deed? Who's to say that cruise ship that you've done your deed and will stay afloat on that water? What does it profit a man or a woman to gain the whole wide world, to gain those trips, to gain that money, and then lose your soul? It's not worth it. People don't even understand that in some situations, the way that they're living so fast and changing up partners so fast, so quick, they don't even realize that they're becoming traumatized. A lot of trauma is coming in a lot of that stuff that they're now doing, going from person to person, face to face. You think you're living a fine life, but you're not. I know some of y'all are maybe hip or maybe knowledgeable of what they're saying is that they call OnlyFans. Well, these girls, they get you to subscribe to them, and they get in front of the camera, and they display their bodies. But even in that, I'm beginning to see reports, different reports now, where other girls who have done it for so long, now some of them have made buku of money, but there's other girls who have not done so good, and some that have made a whole lot of money. Well, now coming back, telling other girls, don't do it. It's not worth it. Don't do it. It's not worth it. A lot of them have no idea that what they're doing or what they have done has actually been selling their souls. A lot of them don't have no idea. They don't have a clue as to what is going on. I had another comment where one guy came in and said, some of these moms drive their girls to the pole. You know, how you say, encourage or cause them to go to these strip poles or stripper poles. And my response to that was, those are not really true moms. Those are probably moms that he deal with. A real mother is not going to put her daughter out there for display for men to gawk at her, pull on her, and all that. I know I'm quite sure that it does happen, but real mothers don't, that no. Real mothers protect their daughters. Real mothers watch, even when they're going different places, they watch who's around and they're watching who's looking at daughter in any kind of certain way. They watch. Like the scripture says, they watch as well as pray. They watch as well as pray. I'm just going to go over some of the scriptures and some of the things that God laid on me concerning this matter, because I really believe that we as believers have gotten away from a lot of it and a lot of things, which has caused society to become just jacked up and decaying and disruptive and all kind of decaying and all kind of stuff. But Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he shall go. And when he is old, he will not depart away from it. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he would not depart away from it. Now, I was raised up, you know, in the way that I should go. My examples was not perfect. And therefore, I was not perfect. I went out and I did the party scene, what have you. But because I knew and because I was trained up in the way that I should go, I did stray, but I came back. I came back to what I had, you know, to what I had lost. I came back to that. There was other scriptures that I got it down as well. One was concerning what did I do with it? One was concerning, but two was concerning, several. One was concerning, here I am. This is what I'm talking about. One was saying in Proverbs 13, 24th verse, it says, whosoever bears the rod hates his children. The one who loves his children is careful to discipline them. Now I understand sometimes it don't take the rod. Sometimes it just takes a good stern talking to. I understand that. I'm not saying, you know, you want to beat the daylights out of them every time they get something wrong. But every now and then, I do feel like they need a little tune-up, like what I was talking about. The Bible says if you don't correct your child, you really don't love him. But if you love him, you will discipline him. In Proverbs 23:13-14, it says, withhold not correction from the child, but if thou beat him with the rod, he shall not die, but you shall save him. You shall beat him with the rod and deliver his soul from hell. What? Yeah. The Bible talks about using a rod. Now, listen, I can remember back when, I believe it was Oprah first hit the scene. And I remember when this became a big debate. And there was one guy that was up in the audience that was talking about whether or not you should spank the child or whether or not you should give him time out or discipline or stuff like that. So the one man stood up in the audience and he said, look, let's do it this way. He said, let's take Bill and let's take Johnny. And let's say Bill and Johnny is in front of the store. In the middle of Bill and Johnny is a brick, and the store has this big, beautiful glass window. And Johnny says, Billy, take that brick and throw it through that store's window. Billy says, I'm not going to do that. Because if I do that, my mom and dad will tear my tail up with a hickory or a strap, I will get towed up. Johnny said, well, if you won't do it, I'll do it. After I do it, all I have to do is sit over here and take a time out and think about what I've done. I know y'all can, you can catch on. Like I said, the consequences of your wrongdoing, man, they're not gonna always feel good. They're not supposed to feel good. But the scripture tells us that if we put the rod on, actually we're saving a soul from hell. In Proverbs 22:15, and this is probably one of my better favorite scriptures in this subject or on this subject, and it says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, But the rod of correction to drive foolishness far from him. I'm just saying, there's a lot of stuff we need to get back to the old pattern on things. I know everybody's not going to agree with that, but when we look back on things and we look back how a lot of this stuff used to be done, society was a whole lot better. I don't know this thing, I can't even remember what they call it now, ADHD or whatever. ADHD didn't exist when I was growing up. Ritalin, I guess it exists, but it didn't come in the bottle form. Ritalin came in the form of a strap when I was growing up. You couldn't be still, you couldn't behave yourself, they put that strap on you. You got whatever, you learned how to do whatever it was they told you to do. Kind of comical, but it may be tight, but it's right. I'm just looking at a whole lot of things where I'm seeing where society has come in and turned things around and blow stuff all out of proportion. I was, and I wrote down here too, is one thing too is that we need to stop devaluing men. Somebody said, well, some of them probably, well, you're right, some of them probably deserve or have devalued themselves, but I'm looking at things from a different perspective because of something I saw. I saw this too, where did I call his name? A big name celebrity. He made a statement because, you know, in this dating time, a lot of people say, they use the phrase, what do you bring to the table? And in a lot of cases, these guys are asking now women, what do you bring to the table? And his response was, how can the man or other men have it all wrong, saying that, you know, that the men have it all wrong and they shouldn't be asking a woman what does she bring from the table because she can create another whole you. Well, now, I biblically, I can't even agree with that. Because biblically, God said to Adam that he was going to give him a helpmate. The guy that made that statement, he can work 4 or 5 different jobs because he's in the celebrity field. He can work 4 or 5 different jobs in the day and still, before the sun go down, be at home and relax and do whatever he want to do with his family. He making mega bucks so his wife and everybody else don't have to work. But the way he put it out there, from his own perspective. And he put it out there from the average man. The average man needs a helpmate. If the average man don't have a helpmate, he'll go out there and work 2 12-hour jobs or a 12-hour job and a part-time job and try to make everything work in the house, and he's still not going to be able to meet her other need. He'll be going to an early grave. And whenever he leave her, and the rest of the family, then she'll go to the rest of that with Pookie or whoever. But God set it up to where man should have a helpmate. He's supposed to be there to help carry the burden, to help build. But the problem is that I see nowadays is that no one really want to come in and help the man build. They want to find a man who's already built. I mean, they want to come in and be the partaker of the fruit of his labor. This is deeper than what I thought I was getting. I did not plan to to go that far. And then the part where he said, the woman shouldn't have to do anything is because she can make another you. No, that's no, sir. No, sir. Because that's not how the Bible talks. She can carry another me. She can't make another me. She can't produce another me. Because, listen, when God talked to Adam, he said, be fruitful, be multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. And he talked about a nation and a company of nations to be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. He didn't talk about what was coming out of the womb of the woman. He talked about what was coming out of the loins of the man. The man is the producer. He is the carrier. I see, in society, we got that all backwards. We got it all jacked up. But anyway. We just need to really, as a whole, as a people, as a generation, get back on track. Get back to the basics. Get back to the basics. We need to remember once more and again that God said he is holy, and then he told us, be ye holy, for I am holy. We just really need to get back to developing even that much more of a relationship with God through our Savior, Jesus Christ, and be ye holy. We're going to have to stop trying to take on what we see around us and go back to the basics to make a difference, to make a change. That's what it's going to take. We got to train up our child or our children in the way that they should go. That way they won't fall away from it. Listen, I know we're living in a time where homosexuality and all this other stuff is being shoved down our throats. Somebody say, are you homophobic? No, I'm just delivered. And see, I know some people, they just jump on homophobic, homosexual, but they leave out that homoandering is just as bad as homophobic. Homosexuality. So what I'm saying is there's things in the world that is being forced down our throat or try to be forced down our throat, and I see it from both sex spectrum. I see it that, you know, if you produce or if you're putting out a movie or a series, then if you don't have homosexuality somewhere in there, your show is really not being real because homosexuality is everywhere. That's the way they're looking at it. But us as believers, we see it as though you subliminally sending a message to us that we'll be partakers of it, that it will convert. It's not going to convert me because I'm grounded and rooted. I was brought up in the way that I should go. I'm grounded, I'm rooted. And just as much as that you have homosexual scenes, you also have heterosexuals that's fornicating. And see, we see that, but most of the people see that but don't see it. They don't complain about that part. Like they accept that part. But it's just as evil as the other thing. What we got going on around us right now is the setting of the last days, where things are designed to draw you away from the things of Christ. being put out there to draw you away from things of Christ. How do we stay rooted? How do we stay grounded? We stay rooted. We stay grounded by standing in the Word of God, by fellowship one with another, by reading the Word of God, by prayer, by fasting. We stay rooted. We stay grounded, and we keep that relationship with God fresh and anew. God within help us. Not only help us, he'll also show us how to guard our hearts. He will guard our hearts. He'll lead us. He'll guide us. He'll protect us. He'll let no hurt, harm, or danger come to us. He won't let anything come upon us unawares. He's that kind of God. So, for everyone who's listening to me, I appreciate you listening. I pray that it was beneficial to you. I pray that the word will find a lodging place in your heart. And I pray that if you're not saved, you'll get saved. And if you're under the sound of my voice and you would like to be saved and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day with all power in his hands, then you can be saved. And if you'd like to do so, just repeat this word, this prayer with me. And Jesus will come into your heart, and he'll save you. He'll make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. He'll make old things pass away and all other things new. In Jesus' name. So just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you as a sinner. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe that on the third day, he raised with all power in his hands. And I believe this with my heart. I confess it with my mouth. And he said, if I did so, that I shall be saved. So I'm doing it now. I'm asking you to come into my heart. I'm asking you to save me. I'm asking you to wash me in the blood of the Lamb. Make me new, a new creature in Christ Jesus. And Satan, I renounce you. I renounce your plans. I renounce your plots. You have no place in my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Now, Father, thank you for saving me. Thank you for making me a new creature. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you said that prayer with me, you like more prayer, you like to get up with me on Facebook, I'm on Facebook, Brian Blassingham. I'm also on Instagram, Brian Blassingham. I'm also on Snapchat, Brian Blassingham. Yes, also Twitter, Brian Blassingham. I'd be glad to meet you. I'd be glad to talk with you. Be glad to minister with you. Until next week, as we part from this place, let us not from God's Holy Spirit. And remember, whatever you do, do it in decency and in order. But most of all, do it for his glory. Again, I'm Apostle Brian Blassingame. I've enjoyed being with you. Again, with the lovely, beautiful Dr. Kimmy Kim, we thank you as well. And we're out. Until next week, God bless. Kimmy Kim, please, would you take us out? Amen.
I was created for. Whoa.